This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
It's 6:06. Welcome to Inside Story. You're with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Today, we're looking at satire and how it links to freedom of speech. And this is following a recent lawsuit by Universiti Kebangsaan Malaysia over artist Fahmi Reza's artwork.
So first up, we're going to try to understand why freedom of speech keeps coming up when we discuss satire. And for that, we'll be speaking with Tulsi Manugaran, coordinator of the Civil Society Coalition working on freedom of expression.
And then we'll look at where the law stands when it comes to satire and how legal action can impact the ability to create satire. So for this, we'll be joined by Khaizan Sharizat Raza, lawyer and partner at Mazir Saira and Sharizat.
Finally, we will be hearing from a satirist, Ernest Ng, best known for his COVID Ball Z comics. This is Inside Story.
It is 6:07. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. So the this has been sort of very visually been making its waves on social media. Universiti Kebangsaan Malaysia is suing political artist and activist Fahmi Reza over a recent satirical artwork that he created called Universiti Kata Kebangsaan. And UKM is basically accusing Fahmi of insulting their institution because of the fact that essentially the logo looks similar to their university's logo in design and colors and so on.
So I don't want to dive too far into this because it's always a bit of a fool's errand trying to describe visual things on air. But essentially, the logo features illustrations of frogs next to the words Universiti Kata Kebangsaan. And the colour and the placement of the frogs used in the drawing are similar with UKM. We're talking also about, as you mentioned, Sharmila, similar font, placement, colours. And it was actually a response to news reports of Communications Minister Datuk Saifuddin Abdullah's purported reputation for political party hopping, specifically from a comment from veteran UMNO member Sharia Abdul Samad that if this was judged based on academic qualifications, then the minister in question should receive a master's degree in party hopping. And so the image itself is a response to that comment and hence Universiti Kata Kebangsaan.
So the thing is, the reaction to this actually came from a rather unexpected party because Fahmi himself said that it had nothing to do with UKM. I mean, when you listen to the description and you hear the acronym, I think it was just a natural sort of fun leaping point to use that UKM to depict that Universiti Kata Kebangsaan, right? The problem is that this was taken by the student representatives of UKM to be offensive. So on the 7th of April, they filed a police complaint against Fahmi Reza. And according to their statement, they said, even though it was a satirical political poster, it's clearly insulting towards a neutral educational institution that isn't involved in any current political issues.
Yes. And so they have urged authorities to investigate Fahmi under Section 2331A of the Communications and Multimedia Act 1998. This is quite specific. Misuse of social media as a communication tool by spreading obscene and insulting information. It's the insulting bit, I think, that's key there. And UKM has also issued an official statement asking Fahmi to delete his posting within a 7-day period. He has, of course, responded by saying that he's ready to defend his rights to expression through satire, whether should he be taken to court. And so that's where it stands, which is why today we're revisiting. We've covered satire on the station quite a few times. Usually in relation to issues like this, somebody issues some form of satire, creates a graphic, a piece of art, what have you, and the people who are involved in the satire, usually it's directly involved, this time it's sort of a tangential thing, take offense to it, and then we end up discussing it. And I think this is partly to do with the nature and role of satire, which is, generally speaking, because it is meant to be funny, it's meant to use humour, use ridicule. I think perhaps it strikes some people as even more offensive than a direct attack.
So Fahmy Reza, of course, is no stranger to being critiqued, even hauled to the courts or to jail for his work, right? But we wanted to expand that conversation to look at satire in general and why, on the one hand, it becomes so often tied to this idea of freedom of speech, and where it, I suppose, where that sort of pushback comes from. Because, as you said, it's often because it's viewed as sometimes making a point even more target in an even more targeted way than perhaps just saying it outright. But on the other hand, we also wanted to look at the legal aspects of this in terms of what exactly the law says when it comes to satire and what are the different legal mechanisms that can be used either to address this, or in some cases, I think, to curtail that freedom of speech. So that's what we're going to be looking at in the coming hour. Let us know, though, what you think about satire. Do you enjoy it? Who are some of your favorite satirists, if there are? But also, where do you think the limits lie when it comes to satire? Call us, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up, we'll look at satire within the context of freedom of speech with Tulsi Manogaran, coordinator of the Civil Society Coalition. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. Today, we're talking about satire and freedom of speech on the wake of artist and activist Fahmy Reza being sued by UKM for purportedly using their logo in a satirical artwork, which really had nothing to do with UKM, but he's being sued for the use of the visual itself as being offensive to the university. But let us know whether you enjoy satire, whether political or otherwise, and also where you think the limits lie when it comes to satire. Is there a point at which that line shouldn't be crossed? You can call us, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, to look at this from a freedom of speech context, we are joined by Tulsi Manogaran, who is the coordinator for the Civil Society Coalition working on freedom of expression. Tulsi, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
So let's start with this particular artwork by Fahmy Reza, right? The Center for Independent Journalism, for instance, issued a statement criticizing this legal action against him as curtailing freedom of speech. Could you share your thoughts on that?
Satire is definitely a form of expression, and therefore we stand by the principle of protecting, promoting and fulfilling this very important human rights enshrined under the international laws and our constitutionally guaranteed right. So Article 19 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights gives all of us that right to free speech and expression. So satire is an age-old classic form of creative arts used to bring forth important points of public interest. And we all know at some point, yes, satire and parody especially is meant to offend someone. And that's the whole point, right? But so I think where we stand is limits to these freedoms should be based on legality, necessity, proportionality, and legitimacy. I think here it is important to honor the right to expression and to respect that space to voice out dissent. We are already living in a space where democracy seems to be shrinking rapidly, and it is important to shape that narrative surrounding the current rights landscape. What should be promoted is not sanctioned. It shouldn't be a civil suit, but a more democratic and healthy discourses on these issues. And I think it is important to honor that right to expression and to respect the space to voice out dissent. Yeah, I think that's why we put out a position that we don't agree and we stand by his right to expression.
Now, before we continue following that train of thought, this particular case doesn't seem to directly be about freedom of expression in the sense that it is about the usage of UKM's logo, not necessarily about the message that is being conveyed through the graphic itself. Could you explain how it then still becomes a question of freedom of speech?
Yeah, I'd be glad to do that. I think what we need to remember here is the fact that we are currently living in a space where democracy seems to be shrinking quite rapidly day after day. And it is, I think, very important for us to then recall and reflect the kind of narrative you want to send out to the public and to stakeholders and you know, to different parties. If you want to you know, object to satire, then be within your rights to do so, but do not use civil suits as sanctions and immediately resort to such harassment or if I can use that term, because it should be recognized that similar situations have happened before, quite recently with the Bernama Bermana parody account that we saw on Twitter. Of course, it offended Bernama, and it offended because it was a state agency, and you know, we saw a lot of flagging that it has received. But it's important to note that the parody account is a form of expression to echo the sentiments of the public. Now, if it is relatable, it becomes popular, and looks like here we the team behind Bermana is quite successful, and so is Fahmi Reza with his Kuasa Siswa Twitter account as a political artist. So this exercise must not be harassed into silence. As you know, there is a very slippery slope into silencing important discourses as part of a healthy democratic society. So what should be promoted is not a sanction, even through civil suits, but a more democratic, healthy discourses on this issue. We understand, however, it is also UKM's right to voice concerns over the usage of their logo. But it's more of the narrative we want to send out, because the issue here is party hopping, politicians, the lack of integrity. That is the issue. Let's not go after the artists, and let's not go after that satire.
Dulcie, you touched here and there on why satire is a useful form of critique and so on. But could you expand further on the role of satire in particular when it comes to freedom of expression, and what can it do?
I think satire is very relatable, right? It is... as I've mentioned earlier, it's a form of creative art. It's a classic old, age-old form of expression used to bring matters of public interest in a more relatable, more personalized, with a touch of sentiment and humor to the public. And it's very easy to send across a message to the public that, hey, something is wrong with this, but look at it in a humorous, satirical manner. And it is supposed to offend people. Yes, it's supposed to offend parties who are most probably affected or is the cause of the satire itself, you know. And but of course, the role it plays in freedom of expression is the fact that you encourage that discourse to take place and you get people thinking, right? And it's a form of flow of information from these satirical artists and cartoonists. So we have our local group of people as well, for example Zunar and one or two others who are quite good at doing this, and if someone is more inclined to creative arts and images, you know, that's their way of getting information. And if you're going to stop that is curtailing information in some ways, and that is stopping the right to information, and that is an infringement of freedom of expression.
So you touched on this a little bit earlier, and frankly, you know, it's something that comes up often when talking about freedom of expression as a whole. So today we're focusing on satire, but generally when talking about the right to freedom of expression, you also hear counter arguments saying that yes, but that right cannot be absolute, that in fact there must be limits on that right to freedom of speech. So if we look at satire then, should there be limits imposed on it, and what would that be based on?
Definitely. I think it's very important to take into context in what cultural aspect that we live in, whom do we live with, right? And certainly, legally, there should be the threshold should be a harm test. Human rights defenders often refer to this as one of the most important part of deciding whether we can curtail freedom of speech or not, and whether there are limitations. And I think here we should look at hate speech, speeches which fan racial hatred and incite other people to create unrest and harm, and also where you can examine if a free speech becomes hate speech when it threatens violence against a person or a group. The essence of hate speech is that it incites others to cause violence. I think the harm test here is to examine if a particular expression and speech brings about harm, brings about public disorder. Yeah, so it certainly will offend people. But the threshold there should not be, okay, I'm offended and therefore that speech is not valid. No, but it should be instead, does that speech cause harm to a particular group of people? Is it causing a public discourse? Is it discriminatory in terms of race and religion? I think that should be the factors in which we ought to consider.
So let's say there was a work created that was satirical, that's meant to be critical but funny and all that, and someone doesn't agree with it or it offends them. Other than taking legal action, what are some alternative ways in which to engage with that or to critique that?
To me, I think it's very simple. Have an open dialogue. We live in a society that embraces democracy. And I think we are already in a developing nation status. And I think we ought to have an open dialogue. Be really mature about it. Invite the artist, you know, yes. Invite Fahmi Reza and see if he has anything to say about UKM in particular, or was he using UKM's logo to bring about attention to some other aspect of politics that are of public interest? Speak openly about it without resentment and preconceived notions of prejudice. I think that's what democracy is all about. And in that way, you get to sort of save your name. UKM gets to say, yeah, actually, we are not the party affected here. The issue is about this, and Fahmi Reza gets to explain himself. And then you are shedding light to the real issue.
How would you describe the relationship that governments and institutions, or rather that government and institutions here in Malaysia have with satire? What has it been like?
It's been one where they often feel very powerful, and they often feel that as public institutions, they cannot be criticized, and that is a very wrong position to take. And as public institutions, you ought to be very, very open to receiving criticisms, and satire is a very important form of criticism. It's been there for so long, and there is a deep-rooted mindset here in Malaysia especially that I know better than you. The government knows it all. Public institutions know everything, and that is not something that we should be encouraging. So I think that relationship is what we often see here. I've already explained to you how the Bermana Bernama parody account took place and the whole attack that they had faced, but it's good to know that they are still there, and I think we should have that environment where you're free to say these things, and as long as you respect the elements that I've explained earlier. And politics comes with a lot of criticism. If you are not able to take that criticism, then public service and politics is not the field that you ought to be in. And that mentality and relationship has to change.
So on that note, we have this WhatsApp from a listener, Kamarun Nizam, who asks, does freedom of expression mean it's right to offend other people? Satire is not the culture of this land.
Yes, I think, it offends some people. That's true. And I think we live in a society where we need to encourage the idea of I agree to disagree with you, and in a very healthy and democratic way. We do not live in a land where we need to succumb and be submissive all the time. No, we do not. Our forefathers have laid out a lot of important principles. We have these principles enshrined in our federal constitution. So, no, we do not live in that land. That is a narrative that we really need to change. We are allowed to offend certain people. We are allowed to bring about messages that question matters of public interest. Now, what we cannot accept are when these messages harm certain people, harm certain groups of people, you know, they affect and they threaten their safety and security, then yes, you're not allowed to do that. But you, in a democratic society, you will, or you're bound to offend certain people, certain groups of people. And I think the idea and notion of agreeing to disagree must always be respected. And the space to voice out dissent is very much something that needs to be respected. Just because I am a voice of dissent, I do not agree with the majority of what people say, I represent a minority voice, I should not be disrespected. I think that culture should not be encouraged at all.
Dulcy, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
That was Dulcy Manogaran, coordinator for the Civil Society Coalition working on freedom of expression. We've been talking about a lawsuit that's been brought towards Fahmy Reza by UKM on his artwork. So let us know what you think about satire. Do you think there should be limits? Who are the satirists that you might enjoy? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up, we'll look at how satire is covered by the law. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:37. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. We are talking about satire, particularly in terms of where it intersects with freedom of speech and where the limits of that might lie. Because Fahmy Reza, artist and activist, is currently facing a potential lawsuit by UKM, which they claim is for the use of their logo in his artwork. So earlier we heard from Tulsi Manogaran, the coordinator for Civil Society Coalition, about why satire is an important tool when it comes to freedom of speech and what are some of the ways in which that manifests. And now we're going to be looking at the legal aspects of this, what the law says about satire and where the limitations of it lie. But let us know what you think. Is satire a good way to critique those in power? Do you enjoy satire? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we're crossing over to Khaizan Sherizad Raza, lawyer and partner at Monsieur Saira and Sherizad. Sherry, welcome to the show. Could you explain to us in layman terms what Fahmy Reza is actually being charged with?
Actually, I don't think Fahmy is being charged yet. But what has happened so far, there was a police report by the student body in reference to Section 233 of the Communications and Multimedia Act. There was also a UKM press statement dated 7 of April 2021, which in effect, it looks more like a letter of demand for Fahmy to take down the image, or otherwise he will be sued by UKM.
And what are your thoughts on the situation?
So at the moment, well, when you look at the provisions under Section 233, 1 or A of the Communications and Multimedia Act 1998, which criminalizes obscene, indecent, false, menacing, or offensive expression online. This specific provision carries a maximum penalty of up to 1 year imprisonment and a 50,000 ringgit fine, right? So, you know, he could be open to prosecution. And I don't think Fahmy is a stranger to similar provision that he was charged before. I believe there was two separate criminal charges that he was charged with under the similar provision in KL and Ipoh over uploading the image of the Najib clown. But I think it was in 2018 he was acquitted of the charge against him in KL court. So, I mean, he's experienced in this or similar suit before.
Now, when it comes to satire in Malaysia, what are the laws and legalities that surround this? How is it recognized by the law?
Okay, so like for instance, in this for all cases, a person, similar situation, a person can be sued for defamation under the Defamation Act, or they could be charged under Section 233 of the CMA. So one of the provisions under the Defamation Act is libel, where, you know, one could, it's a trite law. The meaning of words are libel. Action is determined by the reaction of the ordinary reader and not the intention of the publisher, but perceived intention of the publisher may color the meaning. So it depends on what is being portrayed, how it's being presented. Well, the provisions under Section 233, the word clearly states that materials which is obscene, indecent, false, menacing, or offensive expression online. So if it's published online, then, you know, there are many cases out there which has been ventilated in court. I think Fahmi has two similar cases. One of it is Gunnar's case, which is Sepakat Effective, if I'm not mistaken, in 2014, on discussing on satire and parody as well. But it's more on printing and presses act, I think, believe Section 7, on the publication of the material that of his cartoon book. That is what the court has argued so far, and it has been ventilated in court so far.
So, more specifically, when we're talking about satire, where does free speech enter the picture?
So, we all know that the freedom of speech is enshrined in Article 10 of the Federal Constitution, right? So, every citizen has a right to freedom of speech and expression. Although, in the same provision, there's a restriction imposed where it includes where it is against public order, morality, and public health, where legislation can be imposed to restrict your freedom of speech and expression. So that is a form of restriction given, although, you know, the law provides a person to freely express their speech and expression in this country.
Now, one key issue here is the similarity between the logo on the graphic by Fahmi and the actual UKM logo. Where do the lines come on? Where do the lines fall on this sort of adaptation in the name of satire?
Well, that's a difficult question because, like, it depends on the person who created the graphic, right? But the intention, what was the intention of creating those graphics? So I can't really comment the lines, but what I could say, if, you know, we refer to some of the cases decided earlier, for example, in Sepakat Effective, which the Court of Appeal quashed the minister's decision and commented then the nature of satirical work. Because what the court observed is that in assessing parodies and satires, is that if parody does not prickle, it does not work. So the court must not be too anxious to defend a person taking offense, as parody is meant to be critical in nature, also a fundamental understanding on the right to express is that public offices and administration must also be open to criticism, even if it means being made fun of through satire and parody. So the court, lordship also continued to held that if an expression of thought is to be considered dangerous and prohibited, such danger must not be too remote or far-fetched, but instead should have proximate and direct nexus with the expression. So I can't really comment, you know, where does the line crosses with this sort of adaptation in the name of satire. It depends on the person who created the graphic. It's difficult for this stage to say, like, oh, you know, what was the intention, what was it intended for, and all that. So I would reserve my comment for that.
I want to talk a little bit about the term insult, which is being used here in the context of FAMI having insulted UKM with the image and the use of their logo. Could you explain this to us?
Well, I did look into the posting made by, I believe it was the student union head of UKM, which they themselves claim that it is insulting to educational institution, which the institution itself is neutral in nature and is not involved in any political issues recently. So that's how they are perceiving the graphic to be and how they perceive to be insulted with the graphic. And that's where they're coming from.
Now, it's worth pointing out here that this case isn't directly about the satire itself, but critics have pointed out that laws can often be indirectly used to curtail satire. Could you explain how this might work?
I mean, a satire is not usually comfortable, satire or parody has never been comfortable. It's definitely to inflict some of emotion or reaction, right? So it will dampen the whole intention or objective of a satire or parody, because it's supposed to invoke those kind of reaction, especially in matters, current matters. Public in nature. So it does dampen or hinder the whole objective of having the satire to exist. And it suppresses the freedom of expression and speech over with having such provisions like Section 253, which is usually used in this kind of situation, right? So we have seen that in so many instances throughout the years where Section 53 is being used to suppress satire or parody.
And have there been other cases based in satire brought to court? What precedent did they set?
I mean, there are cases which, for Fahmi himself, there are cases which he lost and he got away. There are cases with which involve satire, which, for example, like Zunar, that he won at the Court of Appeal. So the threshold is different depending on the sitting of the judge and looking at the matter and reviewing the matter, right? So it's like I mentioned before, like it was mentioned in Sepakat Effective, like it's how is the satire is made or seen, and to take note that if an expression to be considered dangerous or prohibited, such danger must not be remote or far-fetched, but instead it should have proximate and direct nexus to the expression. So how do you link that? How do you prove that, right? Whether there are such danger and whether that danger is remote or far-fetched. So that's one of the tests that the court has put forward in some of the cases.
And what further developments should we be looking out for in this case?
Well, definitely whether there will be a suit coming from UKM, because I believe that FAMI has refused to take down the graphic, whether they will proceed with legal action against FAMI himself. And I believe there was already a police report against Fahmi made by the Student Union of UKM over the graphic under Section 223, and whether the police, the prosecution would charge Fahmi under Section 223 of the CMA. So those are the things that we would see in coming days, perhaps or weeks. Any action taken against Fahmi Reza over the recent graphic involving UKM logo.
Sherry, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Kaizan Sharizat Razak, who also goes by Sherry, lawyer and partner at Monsieur Sarah and Sharizat. We've been asking you whether you think satire is a good way to critique those in power and whether you enjoy satire. So call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we do have these messages.
Yes. So first up, we have this from Lee on Twitter, who says, if your skin isn't thick enough, then don't be in politics. And similarly, Vin from Cyberjaya says, satire is meant to invoke critical thinking and, you know, take criticism positively. If you can't do that, it reflects a weak mindset.
And on the issue of freedom of speech, we have a pair of messages that I think speak to the different sides of this debate. So we have an anonymous one that says, I greatly admire the concept of freedom of speech, but I think it should be beneficial and not destructive. I think we shouldn't get lost in trying to keep freedom at any cost, because the end doesn't and shouldn't always justify the means. Meanwhile, we have Kevin, who says, as long as hate speech is condoned, I don't see any issues with satire. One typically includes threat to life, while the latter generally only pokes fun at the subject matter.
So I think the anonymous message raises a particularly interesting point, and one that often comes up in discussing freedom of speech. And really, it rests on the question of, how do we decide what is beneficial? Beneficial to whom, right? So which segments of society are going to be responsible for deciding what forms of freedom of speech are beneficial to them and not destructive? And does that contrast with what other people might feel? And that's how we get into the really sticky conversations. But I think they are necessary.
And I think, of course, the discussion on critiquing someone's speech should not necessarily have to take a legal form. An open forum dialogue are all ways in which to engage and to express your discomfort with an opinion that's being expressed. I just wanted to wrap up this side of things with this from E Macro on Twitter, who says, UKM should not focus on being offended by this offending satire, but on condemning the vulgar kata culture in parliament and assemblies, which I think gets to the heart of the matter, that this might not be the hill necessarily to want to die on. Let us know your thoughts on satire, whether it's a good way to critique those in power. Coming up, we'll be speaking to someone who creates satire. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is coming up to 6:54. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. We're talking about satire, freedom of speech, and the legalities involved, particularly in the wake of Fahmy Reza currently facing possible legal action from UKM over an artwork that he drew and shared online. So we've looked at this from the aspect of why satire is important when it comes to freedom of speech, and also what the law says about satire. Now we're going to be hearing from someone who creates those works himself, Ernest Ng, who is, of course, the comic book writer of the hugely popular COVID Ball Z comics, which have been a humorous take on Malaysia's fight against the pandemic. But in the meantime, share your thoughts with us. Do you like satire? Do you think it's a good way to critique those in power? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now joining us on the line is Ernest. Ernest, thanks so much for joining us. As a writer and artist, tell us what interests you about satire. What can it do that other forms of criticism might not?
What inspired me to be a satire? Actually, I've never started as a satire artist. It's just that I actually enjoy observing things and finding a humorous and comedic angle spin on it. And I guess the importance of satire, it's more or less like in a way you can express certain levels of truth into an issue where some people might find a little bit heavy or sensitive.
And on that note, you know, why do you think it's important to be able to be lighthearted and perhaps even make people laugh when the context might be a serious issue?
I mean, it's a good way to diffuse the intense emotions that the topic comes with. So sometimes people might find it like, oh, why you shouldn't talk about this? You know, you should be... Because sometimes people can be a bit sensitive. People can be like, you know, you're talking about things that I'm very deeply, you know, rooted in. I'm deeply passionate about it, and I don't like it when you bring it out
in a certain way. So I guess satire, when we put a humorous angle into it and everyone is able to laugh about it, then it's a way to diffuse that heated discourse. Like if you try to make it more relaxed, try to relax the situation. So I think satire is good in that way.
And specifically with COVID Ball, why did you set out to create a comic about the pandemic?
Initially, I think COVID Ball did not start off as a comic to talk about the pandemic. Basically, I like to draw on things that I observe, things that's happening in the news, and like to draw. I'd like to find a more positive, light-hearted spin onto it. Then the pandemic just happened in the midst of it, and I just ran with it, and it became a series about how the nation is tackling the pandemic as a whole. Understandably, the pandemic has affected a lot of lives, in a very big way. I guess 2020 was a year that shook everyone to the ground, basically, so to speak. So I think that it was a trying time and everyone's feeling a little down. So injecting a little bit of humor is sort of like in hopes that I can brighten up someone's day, on such a dark topic. I mean, it's some people might have commented like, oh, you're making fun of such a serious issue. Some people took offense to that. But generally, the reaction has been very positive. And they said that, especially I get messages from people who are actually frontliners, medical staff. They say that they are actually working on the front lines, and they feel when they read my comics, they feel a bit more, less sad about the whole situation. So I guess that's the function of my comics right now.
In your view, is there such a thing as bad satire? Are there topics that maybe you stay away from?
Good or bad satire, I don't think so. Satire as a whole is satire. I've never really felt there's a good or bad to it. I mean, it really all depends on the artist, on how he or she wants to portray, a certain observation. And topics that I kind of tend to shy away from is topics on death. If this situation, if a situation involves like a particular death of a person, like his face and name, I would try not to talk about it. Yeah, because it is a sad thing and I wouldn't want to, make fun of it, so to speak.
And in an ideal world, how would you like satire to be received or understood?
I hope people in general as a whole will just receive it more positively. I mean, at the moment, people are receiving it quite well. I just hope that more people will receive it, in a way that they should know that when someone does satire, it's most, for me, at least, I don't do it with any ill intent. I just want to make people laugh. Yeah. Basically, people who do satire in a way, in the same way stand-up comedians, speak on, when they observe about things and they speak about it. So we always make sure that we punch up. Yeah, we never punch down. Yeah.
Ernest, thanks so much for speaking with us. That was Ernest Ng, the writer of the pandemic comic book COVID Ball Z. We've been speaking about satire and where it fits into freedom of speech. You've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.